Thank you. us all stand and open our service in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we appreciate the chance to be able to be with you this morning, Father, even though the weather is a little undelightful outside. We just enjoy all parts of your creation and be able to see snow once again this year. And Lord, we just ask that if anyone's out traveling this morning, Lord, may you be their portion. May you guide the wheels on their car and keep them safe. Lord, we just ask that you would help us in the service this morning. Lord, we look forward to what you have for us. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. And we have announcements. Don't really have any except for today is Christina's birthday. She just turned 25. So, big mom marker. I do know my wife. Let's try number 584. All hail King Jesus. Sister is still in the hospital with internal bleeding at 1:45 this morning, still working on her breathing and heart rate and blood pressure. For anyone that's traveling, remember to pray for safe travels this morning. Remember that we're getting really close and that the rapture is about to happen, so all the little things that we can put away, harmony in the world and harmony in our families, amen. Any other spoken requests this morning? Amen. All those unspoken prayer requests can be known by an uplifted hand. Precious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy this morning, Lord, knowing that you are the Almighty, Lord, we have no doubts that you are able to do anything that's in your word, Father. And Lord, we look to you and your word this morning for all these requests that they may be granted. Lord, for the desires of the hearts, Lord, you know that we wouldn't have a desire that would be unlike you. So for those requests that are on our hearts this morning, may you grant those. Good Brother Brian, Sister Caller, may you bring her through this time of trial, Father, and for Brother Dave Reinerson and his infection, Lord, you are a healer, Father, Lord, and you creator of all things, and the blood, Lord, may you just touch that and heal that, Father, and we just ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We haven't sung this one very much, but in 593, create in me a clean heart.
Father, we pray that we are those children. And all that the divine mercies and grace and benefits that you have for your children, that we would be recipients of it. Thank you for helping those who are able to make it here today, come to this building. We ask you to bless them. And bless those, Father, who couldn't be here. Help us, O God, to get ready for the rapture, for the going home. In Jesus' name we pray. Dave, I don't normally do this, but you have a little testimony about what the Lord did for Silas. Would you come up and tell the people? I think if you could explain also for the people overseas how he was born with it and how he had to get this meeting.
Good morning. God bless everybody. Here and out in the internet land. Our son Silas, born almost 3 years ago now, was born with a condition called diamond black fan anemia. And it's an extremely rare condition. Only like 1 million children are eventually born with it, at least here in the United States. And basically what that means is his body does not produce, the bone marrow does not produce red blood cells. And as a result, if your body is not producing red blood cells, as some may know, the red blood cells are very important in the body for basically feeding nutrients and taking waste and stuff out of your body. So without red blood cells, you will die. And they also oxygenate your blood or your body. So, and then there's a lot more things they do, but without that, you will die. So, if it's not caught and treated, you will perish for sure. And his mother, my wife Rebecca, had it as well when she was younger. And if caught, they can treat it with a steroid, which the steroid can cause a lot of problems with growth and. In young children, it can cause problems with not really mentally developmental things, but just basically it kind of just limits them physically, growth wise, and there's some other side effects. Steroids are just not very good things, as most people know to be on. So we were unhappy to put him on the steroid, but in order to save his life, we had to do it. So he's been on the steroid for a while, and of course everyone has been praying for him. Everyone in the church and both here and abroad that knows little Silas that's had the condition, and God has heard our prayer. Rebecca went to the doctor and had a blood test on him the other day. They rate the level. What's the top of the chart? Like a normal level?
It's 14.
Like 14? And he usually sits around like 8. He's usually around 8. So 14 is like what a normal person would have. He generally sits around 7, 8 with the steroid. And we had him checked the other day, and they were extremely happy in the oncology division in the children's because he was sitting at like a 12. And they said it's the best they've ever seen him, and we believe that God's healed him in this condition. So
amen.
Praise be to God. So we thank everybody for their prayers, and God is still in business.
That's right. Amen.
Yep.
He sure is. I don't know if you've read the Church Age book recently, but I've been listening to the audio version, and Brother Branham has been talking in several places in the Laodicean Church Age and the Resume of the Ages. He's talking about this great move of God that's supposed to take place right before the resurrection and rapture. And he said, you know, that the things that we saw in Christ, he said the works that were in Christ, he said, will be in the church.
Right.
And so I'm very thankful that the Lord is doing things here, and he's doing things abroad, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now this morning, we're going to look at paragraph 168 from the Token. For Brother Branson, now, being in that, we become part of that word and then take that token, the Spirit, over the promise. In other words, when you go to prayer,
You don't still go to prayer as John Doe. You go to prayer as a son of God. The whole family of heaven is named Jesus. So, Father, I'm coming in Jesus' name because that's my name. And I'm coming with your Spirit upon me. And I'm asking this in prayer, that you might honor this prayer. The request of my heart is according to your will. It's according to your word. And so I'm asking it in Jesus' name. And so he says, now being in that, we become a part of the word and then take the token, the Spirit, over the promise. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now get ready for the healing service tonight. See, take the token. Hang it over the word on your unmovable faith in that word. And you'll get up. See, that's the thing that puts him out, because in him, there's no such. Wish I could testify a little bit now of such things that I've seen happen just in the last few weeks. See? Oh, what I could testify. You know, Luke said, if all Jesus done would be put in books, there wasn't enough books in the world to write it. Just what I've seen in my own ministry, seeing him do, you couldn't pile the volumes on this platform here if I wrote it in details. What I've seen him do, just in my own ministry, seen him do it. Notice how Brother Brown says, seen him do it. You see, he had more success in my ministry than he did in his own. And now remember, he had more success now, not me, he had. Glory, hallelujah. He had more success in Jeffersonville than he did in Nazareth. He did. In that wicked city, in this wicked city, amen, glory, because he could perform no miracles there, but he did in here. He finally broke through here. He got it done here. He might have had to get people from somewhere else, but he got it done anyhow. And so I called Brother Collins, and I said, now, I asked him about this. I said, I talked to Brother Collins yesterday. And he said, the reason Brother Brown said that is because when Brother Brown came home from being on the road, at least 50% to two-thirds of the people filling up the seats were from out of town. And they traveled in for the meetings. I've heard Brother Brown many times on tape say, now how many are here from over 1,500 miles? Oh, there's quite a few out there. How many are here from over 750 miles? Oh my, almost half the congregation. That number, he says, fluctuated whether Brother Brown announced the meetings ahead of time or not, because the people were very, very hungry. The local people only made up a small percentage of the people in the pews, and they could only get 300 to 375 people in there. So you're talking about 200 to 300 people were coming from out of town. You know, that's and there's only about 100, maybe a little over 100 people in the congregation when he was pastor. So he had more success right here than he did in Capernaum or Nazareth in that. He does more miracles right here in this tabernacle than he did in the entire ministry on earth. That's right, he did it. Now, what about the rest of the world? Oh my. Now, that's what he done. Now remember, he done. Now, I didn't say that I done, see, because I didn't do it. I just stood there and I just loved him and just submitted myself to him and said what he said. And the Holy Spirit went to the other people and they believed what he said and what he did them and when he did the work. That's all. If he can get all of us believing it, what would he do right now? If he can get he can get us all believing it right now, right? There wouldn't be a feeble person around the country. That's right. If he can get everybody to believe it, it'd all be over. See, hold your token over your unmovable faith in his promised word, and Satan will go. Now I'm going to close down. And so we're going to look at these thoughts where Brother Branham was talking today, because can you imagine what it would be like in the millennium when everyone there is a believer? And there's going to be no unbelief in our midst to hinder the Spirit of God working in his people.
Right.
You know, we might not have need for healing there, but we'll be planting and building and saying to this tree, be thou moved over here, and from over here to over there, and to this mountain over here. And like I'd like this mountain to move over just about maybe 200 yards so I can have a nice lake over here. Whatever. I don't know. All I know is that he said, if we say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in our heart, we can have what we ask. So we're going to look at the greater works this morning, because that's what Brother Branham happens to be mentioning in these two paragraphs. Now, Jesus mentioned greater works twice in the book of John. The first mention is John 5:20, where Jesus says, for the Father loveth the Son, notice his words, and showeth him, the Father showing him, all things that himself is doing. In other words, the Father is showing the Son all things that the Father is doing, and he will show him greater works than these. Notice, he'll show the Son greater works than these that you may marvel. And see, now, if Jesus is seeing this in a vision, God is showing him in a vision what God is going to do, but so you can marvel. Well, then Jesus had to be obedient to that vision and step into that vision. You see? Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that Jesus is not bragging about himself here. He's not saying, look what I've done, or look what I'm going to do. He's bragging about the Father. He tells us because the Father loves his Son, he shows the Son all things that he is doing. And then he adds, and he will show him, not I will show you, but the Father who loves the Son will show the Son greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now, that ought to give you a clue as to who is doing the works, because right before that, he says in verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So Brother Branham was trying to explain to us, he said, not what I've done, what he has done. He has done more in this little church here in Jeffersonville than he did in Nazareth, because the people's unbelief in Nazareth would not permit it. Well, that ought to tell you one thing right there, that it's not a man, it's God. So the key here is that Jesus is not telling them, hey guys, look at me. Look what I've done. On the contrary, he's telling us, hey guys, look what God, our Father, is doing. And I hope as we approach the third pole, we realize that it is not about the bride. It is not about you. It's not about me. It's all about being sensitive to what God is doing and stepping into the vision and being the hands that he wants to use or the feet he wishes to walk in. It's all about him. And the sooner we learn that, the better Christians we will be. And we will be much better sons and daughters of God for it. Now, from his sermon, Christ is identified the same. He says, and notice the significance of the title, because it speaks millions of words by itself. Christ is identified the same. Same as he was back then. But anyway, Brother Graham says, you know, he said he didn't do nothing until the Father showed him first. You know that St. John 5:19, is that right, brother? He said, I, not what he see. He had to see a vision of it first. Jesus never done one thing until he saw a vision first. How many know that's true? St. John 5:19. I do nothing till I see the Father doing it first, you see. In another sermon called I Am the Resurrection and the Life, he says, now that you've got to have confidence, this is the house of judgment, the house of God, where God comes down and passes his judgment. Your pastor is supposed to be a righteous man. The congregation is supposed to be with him 100%. You're supposed to be just 100% together and in there. If you're not, then Satan's got a way to get in. You've got a loophole somewhere going to have everything cleared out. Then when they sent again for Jesus, instead of doing that, he just went on. Never come or said a word about it. He had a vision from the Father. I picked that up there tonight, if I can. He had a vision from the Father that Lazarus was going to die, and he had to follow his vision. Of course he did. He went up. And after a while, he said, my friend Lazarus sleepeth. Well, the disciples, they said, well, if he's asleep, he's doing very well. He's recovering. He's getting better. Then he let them know in their own language, he said, he's dead. And for your sake, I am glad I wasn't there, but I go with him. And he knows where he was going. God had already told him. He followed what the Father said do, not what man told him, what God said. He knows just what to do. And I like what Jesus said. For your sakes, it's good that I wasn't there. Because if I was there, and it wasn't the time to do it yet, and you'd be wondering, why didn't he heal his own friend? You see? Oh, it's just beautiful the way God works things. You know, we always think it's got to happen right now. And we haven't let the picture develop yet. You pull a picture out in the development stage, and if you pull it up too early, it's going to be all cloudy and hard to even see. Now remember, Jesus is our pattern. He has shown us how to live. He's shown us how to act and live like sons and daughters of God. He set the example as the firstborn son, and you know, until Brother Brown came along, I didn't know much about visions. I had a lot of dreams, and I had read the story of Joseph, and he had dreams, and I've always had dreams, but spiritual and, both spiritual and non-suspect dreams as well. But it wasn't until I heard Brother Brown teach us that God directed his son with visions. And you might ask, how did Brother Brown know that? I'm going to tell you how he knew that. Because God directed him the same way. You say, well, just because God directed him that way doesn't mean... Yes, it does. God changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, many times people say, well, God told Brother Brown everything went to ear, to ear, to ear. No, he didn't. He already told us in the Word. And when Brother Brown saw the way God was directing his ministry, then he read on Jesus, he said, oh, yeah, I can see where Jesus had to go away so that that thing could be, so the hat could be on the chair, so that Lazarus could be in the grave, so that he could speak and the Word would be fulfilled and he'd be raised from the dead. Otherwise, if Jesus was there, he wouldn't have died. So he had to be away in order to let the vision fulfill itself. Again, in a sermon led by the Spirit, Brother Brown said, one time Jesus was on his road by a vision to heal, to raise up a little girl by the name of, and I don't know what her name was, but her father's name was Jairus. He was a priest. And he came to get Jesus to go lay hands on his little girl, and while he was yet coming, someone came and said, don't trouble the master any further, she's dead. And the little fellow's heart is about to break. But Jesus turned and said, if thou can only believe. Now remember, when Jesus went in to pray for her, he got everybody else out of the room. When Elijah came to pray for the little boy, he got everybody out of the room. Why? Didn't want any hindrance. And if the vision showed she was the only one in the room, he's got to clear the room. If the vision showed that the room was packed, then let it be packed. He had to follow the vision. Now, let's look at one more example. In a sermon, William Brown speaks. That's the name of the sermon. Brother Brown said, but what would Jesus do if he was here? He might know why. He might say something to you like he did in the Bible. He told the woman where her trouble was, told Nathaniel where he was when Philip found him. And he said, I can't do nothing myself. What I see the Father doing in a vision, the Father gives me a vision, then I do what he tells me. Now, did you see tonight in the resurrection of Lazarus? Jesus had a vision. The Father told him what was going to happen. Amen. And now, now he can do the same tonight. And how many have been here before? Raise up your hand. Father, I know there's no virtue in my hands. There's no virtue in my hand. There has no virtue in the handkerchiefs that Paul prayed for. There was no virtue, but it was obeying the Word of God. It's all about obedience. It's not how much power you can muster. It's not anything about you. It's all about obeying the Word of God. So there we go. John 14:12 is not about what you can do. It's all about what God wants to do. And whether you are willing to be a part of what He wants to do or not. Notice John 14:12 is the second time the Bible speaks of greater works. And Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and we have already established many, many times that he, according to Brother Brown, is anyone who is a believer, and that means anyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, there are 39 times that Brother Brown speaks concerning the words of greater works. And most of them he pointed to his own ministry, but several he made it very easy to understand, and he said he is doing more now all around the world than he did in the ministry of his son. And like Brother Bell told me in our conversation concerning John 14:12, he said, well, I guess a 5-pound pail and a 10-pound pail are both greater than a 1-pound pail. So we see that greater simply means more of the same. It is strange what some people believe when they read that word. It's like common sense has left them. Since when is he preaching the greater work just because you preach to people? In other words, well, we preach more. We went to more places than Jesus did, so we got the greater works. That don't make any sense, okay? For perseverance, Brother Brown said, well, I know, but you see, we're a school and our pastors have done so-and-so. They've got such education, and they've studied the Bible, and they've studied all history, and they claim that the days of miracles is past. But God said it isn't. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works. And someone said, oh sure, well we do the greater works because we got a greater organization than he had. I'm going to tell you one thing, Jesus didn't have an organization. And if you've got an organization, you've got Antichrist spirit. Alright? Because it leads to, well, organizations of the devil. It always has been. We do greater works because we've got a greater organization than he had. We got greater. We're all the way around the world. Now, wait a minute. Before you do that, do the works he did first. And then you can do the greater. He said you do his works first and then go greater. If you take the translation of that from the original, it doesn't say greater. It says the same works and more all the way around the world. Then you got it right. You see? And from greater than Solomon's here, he said, if I told you that the spirit of John Dillinger was in me, you'd expect me to have guns and be a robber like he was. If I told you that the spirit of some great artist was in me, you'd expect me to be able to paint these mountains here just like they look. Because the spirit of that artist is in me. And if I tell you that the spirit of Christ is in me, he said himself, you'll do the works of Christ. St. John 14:12, he said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than this do. Now, I quoted that once, and a man said, oh, sure, we do the greater works. We preach the gospel to all the world. Well, he didn't do it. He didn't do it in his day. And I said, just show me the works that he did first, and then we'll talk about the greater works. See, 90% of the world hardly knows nothing about Christ Jesus. Millions dying every year that never heard his name, and more. It's less evangelized today than it ever was. Hearing them talk about greater works and preaching the gospel, certainly not. And from getting the Spirit, he said Jesus could not preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost because it had not yet come. Now that's the greater work. It certainly is. The church is to preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it was coming, but the church has it and saying we got it and it's for you. See, so that was a greater, that is true. Okay, and another one here, Brother Bram said, for man that can turn on the light. These works that I do shall you also, and greater than this shall you do. I took a fish to make the fish. You don't even have to have a fish. He's still God. He's still the same Son. The same God, the same Son of God that took a fish off of a fish is the same Son of God today. These works that I do shall you do also, even greater than this will you do. It'll be magnified. Greater than this will you do, and people refuse to see it. Greater works. And from Jesus Christ, the saints said, you have to know it by the Spirit. Flesh cannot do these things. What is it? The vine, the branches. The same life that was in the vine comes through his branches. He feeds the branches through his vine. Now that's how he declares himself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the vine. And the Holy Spirit now, Christ in spirit form in you, energizing you with his spirit to believe God. And he's everything that he does. He manifests himself just like he did in the Bible time. The works that I do shall you do also. A little while and the world won't see me no more. How many know that he said that? That's the unbeliever. Yet you shall see me, the believer, for I, personal pronoun, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. The works that I do shall you do also. Now, the word there in the King James is greater works than this will you do. But if you run that back to the Greek lexicon, you'll find out that it doesn't mean greater. It means more. You couldn't do greater. He stopped nature. He healed the sick. He's raised the dead. He done all these things. Well, there could be more done of it. But if you could do more of it, because he would be in his church as a branch and as the vine in his branch, or the whole world around, the same thing. And again, from Sirs, we would see Jesus. Now, he said, now the fruits of Christ, when he was here on earth, the things that he did when he was here on earth, he promised that they would be done in his church after he left. The works that I do shall you do also. Greater works than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. Greater. If anyone who knows the Greek knows that that word greater doesn't mean that it would be in quality, it means quantity. In other words, it would be more than this shall you do, would be the way that we would read it. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. Great, because no one could do any greater work than he did, because he raised the dead, he stopped nature, he done everything that could be done, and he stopped the roaring sea, made the winds to be still, raised up the dead, and after they were done, corrupted in the grave, and no one could do greater equality. But being that His Spirit would come into the church and would reach out, it would be a universal church all around the world, and they could do more of the same things that He was doing. So Brother Branham is also letting us know, because he also says he's done more in my ministry than he did in his own. We read that to begin with. He's also telling us here that he does more in the church universally, because it's happening all around the world with his children. Now, from 1 Corinthians, it says, someone said to me not long ago, to be a little critical, said, greater works? He said, shall you do? Well, we do the greater works. I said, do the lesser before you do the greater. In other words, show me the signs and wonders before you go out and say, well, okay, we're preaching around the world, and he didn't. Just show me the lesser works. You can make it and twist it around and try to make it say anything, but still it remains the same. And you watch anybody that's got faith enough to believe that, it'll manifest itself the same way that God did it. Notice the same way that God did it, because God is the one that does it. Now, we got so much today under the emotions and so forth, that contains, and I have nothing to say against it. That's up between the individual and God. But to me, every word, every action has to come from this Bible. It has to be God's word, and then I know that it's true. If God, the Bible backs it up and says it's true with a promise, and then it's the truth. It's somebody that's found faith that stands there on that word and makes it live again. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. When we see that in the promise of God, when we then we can be persevering. We can really believe and stay there because it's God's promise. Stay right with it, no matter how long it takes. It'll bring it out. You see, no matter how long it takes, you pray for the sick, and then it's up to God. No matter how long it takes, God then does it. Remember those women that were prayed for in the meeting, and it was 2 weeks later after the meeting that the angel of the Lord passed through their neighborhood, and both those sisters were healed at the same time. From the message, then Jesus came, and at his leaving, he said, the works that I do shall you do also. Greater works than this shall you do. And the word greater, anyone knows, means more. You couldn't do any greater in quality, just in quantity. Because he was there in one person. God was represented in one person. Now he's represented in the universal church everywhere. More than this shall you do, for I go unto my Father. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. The word cosmos there, it means that it's the word, the world's order. The world will see me no more, yet you shall see me, for I, a personal pronoun, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. So how do you see him? Because you see him in yourself. And from a certain psalm, he said, John 14:12, he said, and the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, more of it. The word there, absolutely, look in the Greek, it says more of it, more shall you do, because why? God was in just one man. Now God is in his whole church. You see, God was in one man then, all men who believe him now. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. I'll return back to that light that I was, that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. I'll turn back to that, and then in a little while, and I'll come again. See, John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also. And now is it, and more than this. So I'm just establishing the fact that when Brother Branham talks about the greater works, it's just a more of the same. From identification, John 14:12, he gives a teaching that what the church should do. In John 14, chapter the 12th verse, we'll see what that says. John 14:12. So we read it, make it official. All right, John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That's the message of the church. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. Living in the church, King of the church, raised from the dead, same yesterday, today, and forever, performing the same works, doing the same things that Jesus did. That's the message of the church. And if the church isn't teaching that, it's teaching some false theology. That's what Jesus commanded them to preach. Now, here's the thing. If Jesus is the head of the body, then the head is what tells the body, hands do this, feet do this. So then it would have to be through the church, which is the body. Not just through one finger, not just through one hand. No, that's not. It's through the entire body. The one, you can't live by your hand. You need your feet to get around. You need your mouth to talk. You need your ears to hear. You need your nose to smell. You see? Now, this, in fact, Paul said, how can the hand say to the foot, I don't need thee? Well, then how can we teach that if the hand does it, the body does it? Brother Brown never taught that. If the hand does it, the body does it. It's the body that does it. All right? But it's the head that directs it. And that's the whole thing. It's got to go back to the head. It doesn't go back to any, it doesn't go back to the hand or the foot or whatever. The head directs the body. Now, this next quote really explains what is happening concerning John 14:12. Because in order to understand verse 12, you have to understand why Jesus said it. And it all comes back to the Father. You see, Jesus wasn't saying, hey, I'm going to give you this promise, and you're going to go out and do super-duper things. You're going to make, you know, great, exciting times and everything else. Forget it. It's not about you. It's not about him. Let's just go back. Because if you go back to the earlier parts of John 5, he says, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself is doing. And he, God the Father, will show him the Son greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now remember, it's all about the Father showing the Son. And then the Son steps into the vision so we can see what the Father is showing us. Because he adds, and the Father will show him, greater works than these, that you may marvel. So it's all about the Son showing us what the Father showed him first. And that's John 14:12 is all about. Philip wanted to see the Father. The whole thing is about Philip wanted to see the Father. It's about the Father showing himself. In John 14:12, Philip wanted to see the Father. So with that in mind, let's read from beginning at verse 7. All right? And we're going to see, Brother Brown is actually going to explain it to us. So that ought to give you a clue as to who is doing the work. Because right before he says those words, Jesus... in 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but whatsoever he seeth the Father, do that doeth the Son likewise. So the key here is that Jesus is not telling them, hey guys, look at me, like I mentioned before. Therefore, let's just follow through with Brother Branham from John 14:7 through John 14:12. From show us the Father, and it will satisfy. Brother Branham says, St. John, the 14th chapter, and let's begin at the 7th verse and read the 12th verse inclusive. Jesus is speaking now. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now Philip saith unto him, show us the Father, and it will satisfy us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And why sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And my subject for this afternoon is show us the Father, and it will satisfy. Suffice. It means to satisfy. If you show us the Father, it'll satisfy. So John 14:12 is all about showing the life and the character and the characteristics and the attributes of the Father, which were in his Son and now is in the believer. It's all about expressing the nature of the seed. That's all it's about. From Jehovah Jireh, Brother Brown says, there is God's covenant. The light that was in Jesus was tore out of him and was sent back to the church, and the light that was in Christ being in you, then Jesus, his word, which he raised from the dead, is living among us tonight, doing the same works that he did when he was here on earth. Amen. I'm so glad to know that. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. That's right. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, he said. That was his eternal promise to his church. The works that I do shall you do also. Greater works than this will you do, for I will go to my Father. What a promise. Wonderful. And from the angel of the Lord, Brother Brown said, and I said, and if I tell the truth, and I said, I tell about the angel. If I tell the truth, God will testify that I told the truth. I said, as Jesus told the Jews, I have greater works than those of John, for the word your Father has sent to me to do, the same testifies that I am sent from God. And he said, if he doesn't testify, in other words, if God doesn't back me up, if God doesn't testify, then I'm wrong. If he does testify, then I'm right. Not because that it's me, but because it is He that sent me, is right. And I said, anyone knows that God will have nothing to do with error, and if I tell the truth, then God will speak of me. So Brother Brown is warning us to stay with the Word, and then if God shows you in the Word what to do, then you do it. From the Lamb of the Dove, he says this, now we know that in the last days there's going to be a revival of supernatural that's going to be of God, that's not going to be of God. It's going to be a revival, a supernatural revival, but it's not going to be of God. We know that. But the way that we're to tell it is by the Bible. That's right, by the Bible. Now, because it said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not done this? And he'll say, depart from me. See, that's right. Now, it must absolutely be thus saith the Bible. Now, to fulfill the Scripture, Jesus does those things to fulfill the Scripture. That's what he did when he came. He healed the people that he might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. So you say, okay, now, I'm kind of confused because we know Brother Brown talked about, we've got many places Brother Brown talked about. I just was listening to the Church Age book. It's on audio tape. And I was listening to the Church Age book over the last few days. And I just heard Brother Brown this morning. He tells us that at the end of the Laodicean Church Age, before the coming of the Son of God, he said the church is going to be back in the same condition as they were at the beginning. And they're going to be doing the same things that Jesus did when he was here on earth. All right? That's what we've been preaching about. And then he talks about the third pole. He lets us know the third pole is going to be right before. It's going to be a move among only the small group of elect. It'll be among them right before the coming of the going home. And now he says, in this other quote, he says, but there's going to be a revival of supernatural that's not going to be of God. So you might be confused and say, well, wait a minute. He's saying here that that supernatural revival is not going to be of God, and yet he's telling us in all these other places there's going to be a supernatural move of God amongst the right. And that's right. He says, you've got to check it by the Word. Are they on the Word, or are they off the Word and still getting results? You understand? God has principles. You sow what you reap and you sow. And if you, and the Jew knows about that, and he sows and sows and sows, and he reaps and he reaps and he reaps. But also the charismatic and the Pentecostal, they know that if they lay hands on the sick, the people are going to be healed because they're trusting God to do it. But they may have a false doctrine, they may have a false word. So that ought to let you know that, look, and I made some statements that I want you to know. He doesn't judge you by your doctrine, because the Bible says he judges you for your life, for the works that you do. But the problem is, if you have the wrong doctrine, you can be led astray. Because throughout the church ages, it was the wrong doctrine that took the people into error. So you've got to have both doctrine and life. And if you have not doctrine and life, you don't have God. You just don't have, you're not echoing. Because he that echoes the Son echoes life. So that ought to let you know that what we do must be done exactly like what Jesus did. We see the scene in the Bible, and then we see the scene, we see the need just like what the scene showed in the Bible, then we know it's from God, and we're to step into it. I know why Brother Bell shied away from John 14:12, because he has seen people go hog wild in Pentecost pretending they were doing what the Bible did when they were not. Now show me one place in the Bible where any man of God prayed for anything to boost his wealth. But Pentecostal preachers say you want a free Cadillac, believe for it, and God will give it to you. That's pure nonsense, and that's antichrist. He said in the last days there's going to be a revival of supernatural that's not going to be of God. I saw it in a church north of us. I won't say what church it is. But I saw a man get up there and discern. And trying to tell people, you've got this and you've got this. And the man was totally, 100%, completely wrong in his discernment. And the minister of that church kind of talked to him afterwards and let him know that, hey, that's not called. You know, trying to do the sign of Messiah, trying to discern like they did back in Pentecost, and it was wrong. That's why you've got to stay with the Word. Not just try to, oh, I got this feeling. And my feeling tells me this. Forget it. It's a feeling. It's a scene there right out of the Bible. It's a need there right out of the Bible if you just step into it. Now, you remember a guy named Shelley. He walked across the platform, and the guy looked like a first grader. And the way that he acted, he was trying to be a preacher, like when a child is acting like he's preaching, and he sets up a little pulpit in the basement, and he's preaching. And he walked back and forth, and struck back and forth, and, you know, and say, "Ah, I caught that. I caught that. I caught what you're saying to me. Hogwash." He had the gumption to say, "Well, the Lord told me there's about 70, 80 people in the room. The Lord told me there's somebody here who's got a teenager they're having some trouble with." Well, good grief. What parent doesn't have trouble with a teenager? That's not discernment. So, stay with the Word. If God shows you a scene before this taking place, right before you, right out of the Bible, then you're staying with the Bible. Then all you have to do is wait for that scene to unfold, and if it stays right with the Bible, and then the need begins to show itself, just set back a little while and let it play itself out. And when you see it clearly that it is right from the Bible, then step into that vision, and that vision will become reality, and that Word will become manifest as Word. The problem is people are not willing to wait for that hat to be on the chair. They want to press into it. They want to push into it. Don't stretch. Don't stretch what's happening. And don't try to alter what is happening to make it happen. Then you won't know whether God is in it or not. Remember, the two spirits will be so close, it will deceive you if you're not the very elect. Right. Too many people try to press in, and say, "God's going to do this." How do you know? Brother Brown said the spoken words of Richard C. He said, "Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ." See? John 5:19. "So will the bride." Okay? So that's the key right there. He said, "So will the bride do just like Jesus did." In other words, we will wait on God to show you, and then you can do. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her. Notice the double emphasis. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah, because here is the secret. The word is in the bride. You see, that has to be the very first thing. She must have the word in her, and he says, now remember, and is a conjunction. So he's going to add something else to the word being in the bride. And he says, and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. Because remember, unless you got the Spirit of Christ in you, you will not understand the things of God. So you can have the word, but it won't make sense. But if you have the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ, now the word makes sense. See, she knows the word. She feeds on it daily. She knows it. So when she sees the same scene as what is in the Bible beginning to open up before her, she recognizes that it is right out of the book of visions, the Bible, and she receives it as that. And because she has the mind of Christ, when she sees it, she recognizes it, and she steps into it. And it becomes the manifested word for the hour. She has the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. That's what he says. She doesn't just sit back and talk about it. She sees it, recognizes it, and then acts upon it. He continues. He says, "She has thus saith the Lord." In other words, she has what the Lord has already said thus, and notice, she notices this scene is from God's word. It is thus saith the word. Then, when she recognizes that scene out of the word, then it becomes germatized. It's a living word. Notice, when she sees it, when she hears it, sees it, and then recognizes it, right out of this word, then it's germatized. And to be germatized, it means it comes to life. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it has grown and serves its purpose, and they do only his will. Now never forget, only his will, and God's will is his word. Anything outside of the Bible is not God's will. The Apostle James said in James 4 and 3, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. And to ask amiss is to ask outside of the Word of God. From choosing of a bride, Brother Graham says, the other is pregnant by the Word of God and will bring forth the body, the finished body of Jesus Christ, which is the bride. The body of Christ isn't finished yet. How many knows that? A man and a woman is one, and Christ is one body, the Word. The bride will have to be the rest of that body, and the two together makes the one body again, like Adam was at the beginning. Man and his wife are one. Now, she, the true bride, is so sold out to him that she uses no mind of her own. His mind, of course, is his will, and his will is his Word. Remember, he said in the last days there's going to be a revival of supernatural. That's not going to be of God. Why? Because it's not according to his Word. And he also said in the sermon, One in a Million, he said, let me give you a shocking something. See, not all that say unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter therein, but the one that doeth the will of my Father. And remember, his will is his Word. Therefore, to make it simple for you to know whether something is the will of God or not, Brother Bram said, if you want to know the will of God in a specific situation, there are three things that must happen first. First, it must be revealed in his Word. Then, secondly, it must be quickened in your spirit. And third, which means you actually see it beginning to open up before you and you recognize it in your spirit as that. Then third, it must come to pass. Then you will know that it is the will of God for you. Now, Brother Graham saw the vision of the hat on the chair and the woman healed. But first the vision, first the scene had to be there. He sat almost 12 hours waiting for the scene to take place. But he had to wait on God to make the scene come out exactly in reality what he saw in the vision. He couldn't jump up and then tell the man, well, you sit down over here, take your hat off, put it right there. Woman, you sit right there in your place. He had to see it unfold for himself, and then he could have confidence that his prayer would be, thus saith the Lord. So if we try to jump the gun, it's not going to work. And when Brother Branham said that the bride would have, thus saith the Lord, he also said, or she will keep still. In other words, she must see it in the Word. And when she does, and she sees a need in the same scene, and she can identify it back to the Scriptures, then she has it, then she's seen it, she's recognized it, and then she can act upon the Word of God, and she can expect the same results as what she saw in the Bible. And that is what she has, thus saith the Lord. Then Brother Branham continues, amen, and I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. Why? Because you've already seen it in the Bible, you've recognized the scene and the need. And as he says, they have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is himself in them, continuing his work to fulfill as he did complete in his day. Now from the message, only believe, he said, Jesus said, only believe. Believe what? Believe what now? Well, she's dead. Believe for the impossibles. Yeah, believe for the impossible. Well, after she's done gone and gone, believe now? Sure. I told you, just believe if you want to see the glory of God. Believe what? Believe anything whatsoever. Very, very, I say unto you, if you shall say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt in your heart, just only believe you can have what you say. That's right. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, and yet he liveth. Whosoever believeth in me shall never die. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it'll be given to you. Is that right? All these promises, the works that I do, shall you do also. Greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. All these promises here. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we were healed. Look, it's finding out what Jesus did and stepping into it. Jesus waited for Lazarus to be rotting in the grave. After 3 days, the skin worms begin. And he waited for that rotting to take place, and then he said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came forth. Why? Because Brother Branham told us he had a vision from God. Now, you can look on the life of Columba, the life of Martin. They both had similar things where people were raised from the dead. St. Patrick had more people raised from the dead than any other man that we know that ever lived. and I don't remember how many it was. I know it's well more than seven. I think Brother Brandon had seven. One of them was a person who had been buried for several years. He had him dig the body up, and he prayed for them. Why? God gave him a vision. He did what the vision said. The person came back. The reason why he went there is because he had found out that the person had not accepted Christ. And for some reason, he knew that that man was supposed to accept Christ. He went and prayed for the man. And then afterwards, a day or two later, the man died again. But he had died in faith. Hey, God is God. God can do what he wants to do. So you heard the story, Brother, I'm talking about the man that was driving down the highway there in Arizona and hit a man. And several people saw him. They got up to look, and the person wasn't there. Come to find out that several years before, a man had died in that very same spot. We don't understand all these things. We're talking about dimensional things here that we have no clue of because we're confined in this dimension. But God's not confined to this dimension. On that day in Calvary, he said, what is eternal life? The life that he lived, the life that was in him. Impart that to others. Can a man do that? A son of God can. How many son of Gods do we have in here? Okay. A son, you can do it. Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit, to them they're remitted. You've got to be willing to remit them. Whosoever sins you retain, to them they're retained. Now here's where the Catholic Church and many others made their big mistake. They go out and say, well, I forgive your sins. That isn't it. I covered this about a year ago. Remittance of sin and forgiveness of sin are not the same thing. That wasn't it. How do they get their sins forgiven in the Bible? Peter said, answer on the day of Pentecost. They said, what can we do to be saved? How can we get this that you've got? He laid down the prescription. He told them what to do. He said, repent every one of you towards God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? The remission of your sins. There's the greater works. And the word remit means to be done away altogether. When you are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with His Spirit, your whole life is gone. Your old sin is gone. It's buried under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's remitting. Doing away with it altogether. That is how God works. He works through men. Men who are alive. Men who are filled with the Spirit so they can reflect His life. His God life to the church and impart that same life to others. But you'll not find that life in men who have surrendered to the cares of this life. No. Those men who are either dying or they are dead. And death cannot impart life. It takes life to impart life. Now, in paragraph 3 of Brother Brown's sermon, what the Holy Ghost is given for, he said, and remember, he that saves a soul from his error has covered a multitude of sin. See? And the bride of Christ is hungry and thirsty. She's in travail to give birth to the children of God. I think we need to learn more how to look through the blood of Christ at one another instead of looking at that person. A person make a mistake, they can make the same mistake over and over again until, listen, and I've told you many times, you're going to have the same trial, you're going to have the same test until you learn to overcome it. And you can keep making the same mistake. And we say, well, you know, you told them four times, you told them five times. You know, listen, Jesus said forgive them. They said, how many times should we forgive a man? He said, 70 times 7. That's 490 times in a day that a person could make the same stupid error over and over again. And we're supposed to, if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, we're supposed to just let it go. From that day at Calvary. Now watch. Jesus said, watch how he stated it. The works that I do, he's doing them right now. The works that I'm doing now, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, these works shall you do also. You'll do these if you believe in me. You do these works, and then a greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. Now notice he speaks of works and then the greater works, making a distinction between the two. And a little while, and the world won't see me no more, yet you'll see me. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father. He'll send you another Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive, yet you can receive him. And notice, the greater works has to have the power in the church, not only to heal the sick by prayer, to cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to believers. Amen. Well, what if you got people in your own church that make the same mistake over and over again? Do you snub your nose in the air and say, I won't have, or do you try to impart life? You try to get him to just die for himself and allow this word to come in and change. Yeah, I think there's too many snotty-nosed people like Brother Grant said, if it rained, you would drown because your nose up in the air. You know, a church is a hospital where people come to get prayed for that are sick. Not just physical sick, but there's mental sicknesses too. There's emotional sicknesses. He said, let me just read this again. And notice, the greater works was to have the power in the church not only to heal the sick by prayer and cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to believers. You know, there's not one person that I know that I wish the tribulation on. Not one person that I know. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Then what can we do about it? Start applying the token. Try to impart eternal life. Just be there and let God do it. But to impart eternal life to believers, the Holy Ghost was coming and given into the hands of the church to impart life. Oh, that's what Calvary meant. It took stooped, degraded men and women and lifted them into heavenly places to be sons and daughters of God, to heal the sick and to impart eternal life. By giving the Holy Ghost to obedient believers, men who were once unbelievers, and be made believers and impart spiritual eternal life. How much greater is it to say for this sick woman laying here, I can pray a prayer of faith and she'll be healed. That's a great thing. That's what he was doing then. But he said, greater than this shall you do. I'm going to give you power not only to raise him up from the for a while, but to give him eternal life, which will be eternal forever. Poor, blind, wretched people, how do you miss that? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are living at the very end of time. A lot of people are not going to make it, Lord. And yet we've been given power to impart life. Father, help us, Lord, to reach out, beginning with our own family and our own church and the people around us and then outside of the church. To those that we love, help us, O God, that that token might be applied. Whether they wanted it or not, Job applied the token for his children. And you saved them, Father. We don't know, but perhaps there was people who went to their neighbor's house and applied the blood on their doorstep. We know that Rahab was given a command, hang this token out of your window, and all that are in here will be saved. And she did everything she could to get all of her family in. Then what are we doing in this hour? Father, we have your spirit, your life in us. May we not hold it to ourselves, but may we impart that spirit, that life to others. May the cup so overflow that it will spill out upon others. This we ask in Jesus Christ's name we pray. May we have such a sweet spirit in this church that others would want to know more of what we believe. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask you.